This is WAMC News. I'm Jim Lavoulis. As Rotterdam, New York celebrates its 200th anniversary, it has a new town historian. I spoke with Jim Schaefer about what the Schenectady County community of about 29,000 has planned to celebrate its birthday and how he became interested in history.
I grew up in a home that was filled with science and natural history and appreciation of tradition and amateur archaeology and exploring all kinds of places around Rotterdam and the Mohawk Valley. So as a kid growing up here, I was exposed to an awful lot of things that, of course, are part of, you know, the curiosity that goes with the job of being town historian. So while at that time, of course, before 17, I wasn't thinking at all about something like this, but as it turns out, after coming back from a career in academe and working locally in our business as an estate sale expert and doing things of that nature and working with the town on the Conservation Advisory Council for 12 years or so and volunteering to work on the 2020 200th year celebration of the town of Rotterdam, it occurred to me that if the opportunity came to say yes to a question that the town historian wanted to step aside to focus mainly on the bicentennial, that it would be fine with me. So the story begins with a lot of experience in the area until I went away to college. And then I returned periodically while in college and while in graduate school, keeping up connections, and then coming back after my folks passed away and investing myself in doing things around my native home where I grew up and befriending a lot of folks in the area, that it was a natural for me to say yes when the opportunity came.
Like much of the capital region, the town of Rotterdam has a connection to the Dutch. Can you describe some of those connections and the origins of the town?
Oh, sure. The most famous thing is when Arend van Curler came over the Pine Plains from Fort Orange or Beverwijk, Albany, as we know it now. He saw the Mohawk Valley, and he was struck by it as a beautiful area. In fact, he said it's the most beautiful, I think, something like the most beautiful sight and that eyes can, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's basically in awe of the land. He saw the river, he saw the great flats, which of course were a fertile plain. He saw the river in its junction where a settlement could take place, and he basically fell in love with the spot. So that was in the late 1600s, in middle to late 1600s, and of course in 1661, they settled the town of Schenectady, and it was the bridge between the Dutch and the wilderness. Basically, I mean, out to the west of here, if you go west in the Mohawk River Valley, you run into the Mohawk, you run into other members of the Iroquois tribe, and so it was a natural place for the Dutch to settle and start capitalizing on the fur trade, which they did. And the Great Flats, which is right below my house, and which is over the Great Flats aquifer, which supplies water to 180,000 people in the area. Absolutely beautiful, pure water that we cherish greatly, and was the subject of some of the protective activities that our Conservation Advisory Council has been doing over the past 12 years or so. And the Dutch, of course, brought their traditions. They brought the patroon system, which laid out vertical land tenure systems with foremost and the hindermost. Foremost is where the farms were, and the hindermost was the woodland. And in fact, I have, going right through my front yard, the road that they would use with their wagons and horses to go up into the woods to collect firewood. So right through where I'm sitting is a road, or at least the remnants of a road. And so the patroon system worked very effectively as a way of socially integrating the Dutch. They would have the foremost numerical 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, up to 10, and then they would reverse the order, more or less. And so the foremost would have property owned by certain people, and then the hindermost were owned by other people. So on any particular place, they had to cooperate. And not only did they have to cooperate, but they would protect themselves from the Aborigines who were in the area, and possibly warlike in some respects, by having a stockade. So Schenectady was a stockaded village. And they would of course, go back to the stockade and if they were feeling any danger. So the other part of the Dutch is they had fantastic architecture. Their homes and their barns are quite unique in the Mohawk Valley and also the Hudson Valley. The Dutch barn is a very unique structure with basically anchor beam and a thrashing floor for taking the grain that they were growing and having cattle go around the center post. And there were all kinds of innovations that the Dutch had with their homes. The unique structures in the area were admired by the Dutch World Touring Company that came through about 3 or 4 years ago. And they saw homes and in some cases barns that were identical to the homes and barns back in the Netherlands. And they set up some tours, both in Dutch and in English. And so we have a strong heritage of the settlement of the Dutch, including their religion. A very beautiful set of churches are in our area that are Dutch Reformed churches. And so we have all of that right here in River City. And Rotterdam has a little bit of each of them. Just to bring it home, Jim, my house was designed by my mother and father after local Dutch houses. The Brathaus, which is just down Skimmerhorn Road from where I live, is a beautiful, classic Dutch structure. And also the Yates house, Mayor Yates had a house in the arcade that my folks copied the architectural design of both of those houses and incorporated into a plan for our house. And if you come by our house, we look just like a Dutch house. Slanted, very steep, slanted slate roof, brick, and the interior with beams, beams from barns. There was also right behind my house a Dutch barn, one of the most spectacular Dutch barns in the Mohawk Valley, the Teller Skimmerhorn barn. And of course, Skimmerhorn Road is where the Skimmerhorns live. And there was a house just down the hill from me, owned by Philip Morris of Proctor's. That house, the original house, dates to 1704. And the barn dated to 1701. The Brathaus dates to 1730 or so. And so right along Skimmerhorn Road where I live is a historic district with mansion-sized houses, beautiful structures, some of them with oak-lined walls and libraries made out of cherry and just some spectacular buildings that are right along the road here. And so I've kind of inherited a natural history area. My front yard used to have the Skimmerhorn Cemetery. Graves were removed to the cobblestone church up on the hill right before my folks dug foundation back in 1934. So all of these things come home. In addition, all around the Flats area, the Great Flats, are Native American sites. There's a spring just down the hill from me. The spring runs year-round, and it was one of the early springs, of course, brought game, and with the game, of course, brought Native Americans who were hunting them. And so we have archaeological sites all around the area. As a kid, I used to find arrowheads in the fields right below me. I have a vast collection. My father, of course, had a huge collection of Native American artifacts that he started collecting when he was 12 years old. So we have all those collections, and some of them have already been donated to the Historical Society, the Effner Room, and those people have all of those artifacts. And so one of the things I'll be doing as a historian is telling a little bit of the prehistoric story of Rotterdam. And I'm also looking into ice harvesting. This happens to be a year that we would call an ice famine. If you and I were depending on ice to refrigerate our food, we'd be in trouble this year. With January being one of the warmest on record for quite a few years, there's very little ice. But block ice was something that we had and was a very important part of the mid-1800s until the refrigerator developed by GE, the nice monitor top refrigerator, came in back in the 20s. And so while our house had a monitor top refrigerator, we didn't have an icebox. Just down the road, I have a house that had a huge area that was block ice storage. Probably a ton or more of ice was stored there, covered by sawdust. So looking at ponds and areas where ice was harvested is an area that I'm starting to take a look at as well. I'm looking also at winter sports. Back in the late 20s, my dad and some of his friends developed some ski trails on Janaputcherberg, which is the high point in the Mohawk Valley, just up the river by Rotterdam Junction. That mountain, also called Crawford Hill, had several ski slopes cut so that skiers could not only enjoy cross-country skiing, but also they were racing on Janaputcherberg. So back in 28 and 29, as an activity for people that were not too well off, poor people, could have some enjoyment by just hiking or taking the trolley out to the areas around the Mohawk Valley and enjoy hiking and cross-country skiing and exploring. So it's just a natural area. It's a beautiful area for looking at our past and looking to kind of reserve things for the future.
I was looking through the list of town supervisors in Rotterdam, and one thing that did stick out to me was the last name Skimmerhorn. From 1827 to 1883, six different people with that last name held the supervisor's position. Can you tell us a little bit about that family?
Oh, man. They were all the way from, outstanding people in terms of the military and Congress. Congressman Skimmerhorn owned a house right across the street from me, all the way to scallywags, thieves, and bandits. the family had quite a history, let me tell you. But they were certainly an outstanding family, built some beautiful structures. Their homes along Skimmerhorn Road are spectacular. Congressman Skimmerhorn was an outstanding person who, of course, carried his responsibilities to Congress back in the 1800s. Skimmerhorn Street in Scotia looks to me on the map like a continuation of Skimmerhorn Road. If you go just across the river, as far as I know, there was no bridge, but the street and the road line up almost perfectly. There's also a Skimmerhorn Street in Schenectady over just a little bit outside of Bellevue. I don't know an awful lot about the family, but it's certainly a family that has been foundational to my youth. I used to visit with the elder Skimmerhorns down the hill and across the street when I was a kid.
The town of Rotterdam was formed from a ward of the city of Schenectady on April 14th, 1820, making 2020 the town's bicentennial. Can you detail how the town plans to commemorate the anniversary?
Yeah, starting back in fall, actually late summer of last year, John Woodward, who is a town historian before me, asked a bunch of us to join him and talk about the 200th anniversary and see what kind of ideas we could come up with for celebrating during this year, the 200th anniversary. And we came up with, of course, scores of ideas, many of them quite impractical, but several of them over the past several months have started taking hold. One of the things we plan to do is design a logo for the town that cited 1820, 2020. And so we asked the art students in Chalmont and Mohonasson, their art teacher challenged them to design a logo. We just recently looked at 65 of those logos and selected two of them out of 65 that we are going to be promoting. We're giving each of those designers $250 as a reward for their work, and we're going to be showing all of the entries at some place, probably down in the Via, or what we used to call Rotterdam Square Mall. So we're going to be displaying them. We also are planning on a time capsule. Again, that may be designed by some people at Mohonasson High School, where we will have a time capsule, and we don't know what's going to be put in it yet, but we're asking the kids to help us figure out what kind of things should we be putting in the time capsule that might be opened in 50 years or 100 years. I developed a relationship with a brewery here, not in Rotterdam, but west of Rotterdam a little bit, and I talked them into designing a heritage beer for 2020. We're going to be using the heritage hops, which come from Sharon Springs, an original old hop plant that's been developed and commercially now available for hops. And I've asked the brewmaster there, Klaus, to look into coming up with an old recipe for making a 2020 beer for us. Of course, the beer will be an adult beverage for any of our celebrations. We may be asking some of the local cider makers for some non-alcoholic beverages to complement the alcoholic beverage of beer. I'm also going to be promoting through the town of Rotterdam an end-to-end hike along the Long Path. Back in 1930, my dad, Vincent Schaefer, developed the Long Path of New York, which, like the Appalachian Trail and the Long Trail of Vermont, goes from the George Washington Bridge across the Shawangunk Mountains, the Catskill Mountains, and the Adirondacks to the top of Whiteface Mountain. And it does come right by our house and right through Rotterdam. So the Plotterkill, which is one of our natural areas, is actually where the trail now goes. So what I'm doing is putting a kiosk at the upper end, which happens to be the town line by Rhinex Corners, and it goes down to the river. So you just basically hike either down or up the Plotterkill, and we'll give you a badge, which basically being designed as a kind of a patch that you can sew onto one of your outdoor shirts. So we're having an end-to-end hike as one of the 2020 celebration. We're going to have tournaments, baseball, soccer, and football tournaments by various teams in the area. And we are going to be sponsoring or encouraging sponsorship of those in the name of the 200th celebration of Rotterdam. And we'll have a banquet at the end of the year, probably down at the Rotterdam Square Mall or some large venue, where we will be awarding various participants who have won tournaments who have done spectacular things for us during the year. We may have a battle of the bands. We may have a carnival. We're going to ask the 8 volunteer fire departments to participate in some capacity. One of the history projects, as well as one of the 2020 projects, will be to have family photographs scanned and identified. So we'll have families, like the Schaefer family has a family photograph showing 3 or 4 generations. And we'll have that photograph scanned and put into my archival file, along with maybe the Mastrianis and all the other families that have family pictures. Of course, everybody has a family picture. But wouldn't it be fun to have a file this year of the 2 or 3 generations of families that have taken a picture at one of their family celebrations? So we're planning these kinds of activities, and it should be a lot of fun.